change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello and welcome to the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking to Sagi Eliyahu, who is the CEO and founder of Tonkian. How are you, Sagi?
Hey, Mickey. Nice to meet you. I'm great.
Very nice to meet you, for sure. Please tell me first a little bit more about Tonkian. What is Tonkian?
Absolutely. Tonkian is what we call the operating system for business operations. In a nutshell, we allow operation teams to solve business problems with a very custom fit solution that is no code, and they can orchestrate their problems end to end without introducing new interface or changing their data scheme. So basically, think about solving problems without needing IT or engineering, but still remain compliant to what the company guidelines are.
I was going to ask, what does no code mean? We've sort of touched on that with the prior episode I did with the gentleman, but I just want to underline it for the audience again. What does no code mean?
Well, in marketing jargon, no code is the concept of you don't have to write code in order to build software solutions. I think the market is a little bit noisy about low code and no code. Sometimes it's been mentioned in the same sentence, where in fact, you know, low code allows people that already know how to code to do things faster, right? Because some things doesn't have to require coding, but some other things do. That's why it's low code. No code, on the other hand, has the premise of what I call expanding the pie. So basically allowing people that has nothing to do with coding today to be able to do things with software and building software solutions with absolutely zero coding or understanding of how data flows or how technology has been built. So it's really sort of enabling a new segment, if you will, of the population to be able to leverage software.
I think about nonprofits in general, and maybe I'm going to play devil's advocate here for a second and say something like nonprofits tend not to be technologically savvy, which I know is not true. I know that's changing, but let's pretend for a minute that it remains true that nonprofits by and large are not technologically savvy. Do they need to be in order to implement no code solutions, or do they simply pick up the phone and give you a call?
It's the latter. So the point of this, right, is to basically say there's so many people that are what we call makers, have the maker mindset. They want to solve problems. They have the ambition to solve problems, but they're not technical savvy. They don't have the knowledge or skills that is required today to solve complex problems with technology. And so they're stuck. You know, they need to use resources like engineering or consulting or whatever it is to do that. Nonprofit specifically, every dollar counts, right? And so how do you do that with a set of technologies that exist today? And I think that today, that sort of last couple of years in the future ahead of us, the more no code is going to be available, and companies like Tonkian and other solutions that focus on that non-technical audience is really changing the game from that perspective. And I think that's what we found ourselves helping nonprofits as well. So yeah, short answer is they can pick up the phone and they can try themselves and they can solve stuff that were very complex and very felt unachievable before with just drag and dropping and building their own solutions.
Can we talk about some examples of the kinds of things you've helped nonprofits achieve?
Yeah, so the story is funny. So Tonkian is, we're a for-profit company, mm-hmm. right? Our customers are Fortune 1000 type of customers. We work with big enterprises solving complex problems from sales and revenue related processes, customer facing processes, or internal processes like legal operations and finance operations and the like. And beginning of last year, you know, 2020 had obviously a big cultural and society wide challenges, obviously, as we all know. And that sort of pushed a lot of a new nonprofit to come up and trying to help with that. One example was a small nonprofit called Shopping Angels that thought about the idea of, hey, let's help edries in small communities to really find volunteers that can help them do the grocery shopping because they can't go outside themselves with the pandemic and everything. So let's try to match those two together. Right. And so if you think about that, you know, on a small scale, you know, that's not terribly hard. But when you're trying to scale that across, you know, the rest of the United States, you need you need technology to help you match volunteers with elderlies. And, you know, that's basically the only way to do that. You can't just, you know, fill forms and work on spreadsheets.
Right.
And so from a personal connection, they found someone that works for Tonkin and he suggested, hey, you know, we can help. We can probably help you with that, and can probably do that for free for you as a nonprofit. And we did, and the entire mechanism and engine around like collecting the volunteers, but then matching them with the elders and all that stuff, and the distribution between it is all running on Tonkin. And I wasn't even involved in this as a CEO, but I heard about it, and I thought to myself, oh my God, like that is an amazing outcome, you know, of our product and of our platform. Can we double down on that? Can we make that in a global scale? So what we actually end up doing is we came up with a new initiative we call Changemakers. And at first it was actually a hackathon. So in end of 2020, we did a hackathon where we said, hey, let's take the idea that Shopping Angel had with the matching the volunteers with the elderly, the shoppers with the elderly that can shop, but do what we did for them in that same capacity. So basically matching technology companies and technology professionals that can build stuff and they're what we call makers, mm-hmm, with nonprofits that has operational challenges, but doesn't have necessarily the skill set in-house or the money to spend on creating those efficiencies. And so you can imagine that is probably true for the vast majority of nonprofits.
And so that's what Changemakers is. You're hooking up, it's basically almost like a loaned production team or a loaned team of executives that you get those professionals working for companies like Google, Airtable. You mentioned some things in your notes here to me, Finn Analytics, get those folks to work on projects specifically for smaller nonprofit organizations within their own communities, right?
Exactly. And think about, if you think about skill-based volunteering, something that, you know, I'm sure people have heard of and thinking of, there's so much talent that doesn't know. And 2020 just made it even clearer because everyone working from home, they want to give back, but they don't know how to give back. And some of them are so busy in day to day that, you know, they feel like actually time is the one thing that they can't give. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so how do you bridge that? And it was amazing to see the impact that some folks has just by showing up, literally spending 30 minutes or an hour with a nonprofit. They're that person for a Fortune 100 company, manage hundreds of millions of dollars of projects. And then for them to come in and talk to that nonprofit and able to bring some of that knowledge and some of those insights, some of those advice, made a huge impact. So the funny thing is that we did it for a week, that the nonprofit, the Changemakers event was for a week. We had, I think, 20 or so nonprofits and about double that, the number of makers. And we're able to, you know, work together and nonprofits from every, like from all, you know, walks of life and every size that you can think of, from very big nonprofits that are famous by name to very small community size type of nonprofits. Social issues range from poverty to, you know, helping veterans to helping global climate change. You know what I mean? So things that are really across the board. And that sort of, at the end of the event, we did, closing ceremony, right? Where every nonprofit and makers, you know, that were matched and worked together this week presented what they did. I never thought that I would end up this event with almost, you know, in tears. I was amazed by the impact,
right,
and so honored that we were able to, you know, sponsor and initiate that type of movement. Since there, actually, next event, this year, it's going to be much, much bigger. But more importantly, we decided to make this an ongoing initiative.
Yeah. I mean, I have many questions, but the first I want to ask you is just from an operational perspective, what are your biggest challenges in putting all this together? I mean, you've got to source the volunteers, you've got to vet the nonprofits, right? Because you're not just taking any nonprofit that comes up with a raised hand that says, hey, I need some technology. So what are the biggest challenges to making this happen?
So for the first event, it wasn't actually only about the technology. The technology was part of it. We realized that, you know, a lot of nonprofits can benefit a lot from literally spending an hour with a marketing professional of a top tech company or a finance, you know, director of finance or something like that, in top tech company, because they can bring a lot to the table and helping them rethink, you know, how they operate. Because nonprofit is still a business. It's not for profit, but it still needs to operate and has a similar mechanisms that needs to work together and be perfected. And obviously the for-profit industry sometimes has much more sort of financial incentives to be very efficient. So taking some of that learnings is important. When we did that sort of initial filtering, if you will, or triaging of both the nonprofit and the makers, we looked for people that have operational experience, whether it's technology related or not, even if it's just, you know, but the people that do have some practical experience in, you know, in sort of like top companies and, you know, solving top problems. And then on the nonprofit ones, there was no filter on what the cause is. Mm. Any cause was good enough to get help. We did not look in the size of the nonprofit or how long are they around or what even their budget is. We took everyone there. The only thing we did look into is asking them to describe to us the areas of pain, because we wanted to be impactful. And so we wanted folks that already have some thinking around, you know, how to improve efficiency in areas where they know that they can probably do better. Yeah. So we can make it practical versus people that just want to, you know, to look around and kick tires.
Right.
So that proved to be very successful, because that matching in day one, in the first meeting together, people were already start to see value and was able to start to create solutions. That was very exciting to see.
It's way too cool. And I've tried to help foster various maker and hackathon kinds of scenarios here in Atlanta. So I understand some of the challenges of putting together real makers with real need, but I do occasionally run into people who simply say, yeah, my nonprofit needs an app, and yet they don't have real research as to, you know, what kind of app they need, what they want it to do, what their mission goals that would be accomplished by creating such a thing. They just know that they need an app. And I don't think that's a good way to approach a technological strategy. So that's why I asked the question, were you matching technology with the real strategic need? And you answered that question. So asking the nonprofit where their pain is, I think is a brilliant way to do that. So you do this, but this is nationally now, not where are you, first of all?
So our company is global. We have our HQ is in the Bay Area in California, personally in San Francisco, but our team is already global. So we have folks around the US, but we also have a big R&D office in Tel Aviv in Israel. Mm-hmm. And so in a way, we wanted that thing. It ended up being mostly the US nonprofit, but we hope this to be globally. So next year, this year, to be more accurate, in 2021, we want it to be even wider. And you know, we think it's very cool if a nonprofit from, I don't know, Belgium, you know, could get help from a maker from Atlanta. You know what I mean? Like, I think this is where I'm, you know, I get excited that, you know, when things, you know, become massively bigger than you originally imagined.
Yeah, exciting. So you list a few things here before I go on to my next question. Some of the nonprofits who participated in information on what their makers helped them with, I think these are wonderful examples. There's a couple that stand out to me. Coaching Core, the thing you wrote, that they're mentors for young people in youth sports during the pandemic, while sports were not happening, perfect time for them to step back and reset before they start up again. What did Coaching Core ask you guys to do?
So I think all of the thing that was interesting is that all of the different nonprofits had either a very clear problem that they're trying to solve, or mm-hmm. a very unclear way to solve it, but a very clear goal that they're trying to achieve. You know, so it either came from the problem side of things, what things that are not working, or things that are like, you know, I wish now that I have some time to think through it, I wish we would be able to do X, Y, or Z better. And like I said, sometimes it was a marketing strategy problem. Sometimes it was an actual technology infrastructure problem, mm-hmm. right? You know, I have another example that I know more of the sort of like the details of. It was a Future Veterans nonprofit, the one that sort of like we had like a voting thing by the participation to who they think had the most impactful solution, mm-hmm. and you know, Future Veterans won that sort of like the popular vote, if you will. They ended up using both our technology, Tonkin technology, but a few other technologies as part of it, with amazing partnerships that helped sponsor the event, that basically allowed veterans from, you know, the U.S. Army that are looking for help with accommodation, for where to live and where to, you know, spend the night, or, you know, where to find food and so on. And today they have to call a number, a hotline, or, you know, they need to send an email, or, you know, or need to show up. And it's far less accessible than it can be. The problem is that it's very, you know, you don't want to create a mobile app or something that adds friction. So what they were able to do, again, with our technology and others, is to basically create a process where they can just text SMS the same number they calling. You can just SMS whatever questions they want, and there's an FAQ document behind the scene that the nonprofit can manage, that, you know, using our technology, basically automatically find, you know, the answer and able to automatically answer that person. And only if that person replies back of like, I need more help or whatever, it then escalated to a real person, you know, to trying to help. The entire experience becomes much easier and much more accessible for the people that are trying to help, right? The veterans in that case, to get faster access to the information and get better support. The funny thing is that once you open up one area of improvement, the appetite grows.
Yeah, sure.
Now there were like the team, you know, one person on my team is still working with them still today, like 6 months after the event, because now they have other ideas all of a sudden. Hey, what if we can accommodate some of the, you know, finding the living accommodation automatically as well, and suggest option, you know, some of the operation stuff that you didn't even imagine that can be automated or can be improved. Once you open up the appetite of like thinking differently from a nonprofit perspective, not looking at technology as this foreign thing that, you know, might take us too much work to get going, and like, you know, and focusing on the cause, which is super important. But technology is really just a lever. It's just leverage. It's just using, getting more out of doing less. And that's, you know, to me is the most obvious area where you would want to use technology in a world where it's not for profit, and so leverage is incredibly important.
Well, and you're providing a lot of it. I'm gonna read these examples here just so the audience knows what we're talking about. I mentioned Coaching Core earlier. They use Changemakers to sync their digital platforms, including FormAssembly, Google Analytics, HubSpot, and Salesforce. Their OpsMaker helped their staff learn how to build better and much more intuitive reports in their effort to engage 1 million youth a year. Digital Nest, you did that. Your teams found ways to streamline the kind of work that they do. The problem was they had data in many places that didn't speak to each other, and a CRM that they didn't like. This is a very, very common problem amongst many nonprofits. That in this case, they were looking for ways to streamline that work. Changemakers created an operations workflow from their credit card processing system that will end up saving them 20 hours per month of manual data entry around donor management, which is huge from a human resources perspective. And I like this one, My Health Ed, makers of Real Talk, a mobile app for teens, mostly LGBT youth, 48% increase in downloads during COVID. They wanted to double their reach and needed a system for tracking volunteers. So during Changemakers, they built a working prototype of a volunteer management system using existing tools to start offloading manual tasks and provide a much better volunteer experience. Again, huge impact can be had that way. I'm just excited that you guys are able to help nonprofits accomplish these things. From where you're sitting right now, you know, you're on top of this whole operation. What are your takeaways? What does the future look like? What are your lessons learned? How do things move forward from here?
Yeah, we really want this to be a community-led initiative, right? We don't want this to be, the main sponsor of this initiative is a sibling, not even a sibling, it's basically a sub company of Tonkin, which is Adaptive Ops, which is a community for operations that we created and sponsor. And so there, that entity is actually the one that drives the change makers, because it's not about Tonkin and it's not about our technology. It's about the community driving the change. Right. And so community of makers, you know, so like that's where the name came from too. So where I'm hoping this would continue to grow to is that sort of two sides of that world, both the nonprofit and the makers or the operational professionals, finding value in this and feeding back to that you know, to that sort of ecosystem. A lot of the makers told us too how amazing it was for them to be able to contribute, but also to learn and bring some of those ideas back to their own work. Because again, like, how often does people has the opportunity to take a step back and look for some and look at something new and bring their skill set into something that, you know, it's not their day to day. They come back and be like, wow, I just, you know, helped that, you know, those guys solve this. Maybe I, this is actually a good idea I can use, right, you know, on my own. And so I think we want this to be community led. But the one thing that I felt is sort of like the strongest out of this entire experience, we had a lot of reasons not to do it. Mm. You know, we're not a huge company. We're growing startups. You know, we're running very fast. We're growing very fast. Very fortunate to be in that position. But time is also, again, like I mentioned there, is not something we possess. And so we had a lot of reason not to do it. But it felt that it doesn't actually going to require that much for us to move, to take that step. And to me, that is the most important thing I've learned and, you know, would love if more people sort of absorb and take from this conversation even, is taking that first step. It's not only imagining a cool idea that literally came up from a conversation I had with our head of product, talking about Chopping Engines, like how cool would it be if, you know, if we'll create that type of event, but not just keeping it in an idea, but literally taking that first step. Because the rest of it, and the team worked hard and you know, a lot of people put a lot of time into it. But every time, you know, every small step we took, we got such a good positive wind out of the community and more people want to get involved. That it's like starting a movement, you know, it's something that sort of we're all into itself. So especially in the world of nonprofit and in general, like trying to make change, sometimes it's really just about taking that first step and taking that leap. And for me, if that's going to continue to be a community led and that will grow by itself, that I, you know, we want to be actually on the sideline and cheering and sponsoring wherever we can and pushing wherever we can. But it's about that community and it's about that giving back.
Absolutely. You said something a minute ago, which struck me as kind of funny, but it's absolutely the truth. There are a lot of people who don't know that their skills can be used to make the world a better place until they get out of there. I don't even know what to call it. Sometimes it's hard to realize that you're in a silo until you get outside of the silo. So
this is literal quotes from some of the makers that participated in that event, that they never imagined that one thing they do every day can be such of a huge impact on, you know, on a full organization that completely redesigned their processes now because of an hour advice, you know, hour long call for advice that for them was just like, well, how is that an advice? I literally do it every day. You know, that thing that you don't know is where the real value and impact is.
And it often doesn't take much to make a huge impact. You know, most people don't know that just simple application of skills in a different context can be huge to someone else. Exactly. So Guy, this is wonderful stuff. If an individual wanted to be in touch with you to learn about either volunteering or getting hooked up with a community of makers, how would you suggest they find you?
So two main places to go is operations.community. That is the adaptive ops community. That would be a great place to go, especially if you're an operational maker or professional that want to help, or just want to be part of the community, but also for the nonprofits to learn and so on. And then you can visit tonkin.com. And if you go tonkin.com/changemakers, that would take you to the initiative itself as well. There's links from the adaptive ops, but that would allow you to go in and actually sign up for both the later in the year hackathon, but also the ongoing initiative that we just announced that we're going to ongoing support and sponsor through the community, that match of makers. So anytime any nonprofit can come and sign up and say, hey, I would love to have help in X, Y, and Z. And makers can come and say, hey, I would love to help. I'm really good at, you know, ABC. And then have that software help match those two and let them meet and, you know, and work together and help each other.
Awesome stuff, Sagi. Thank you for taking the time to make this episode with me today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. That was my pleasure.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.